The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Just hearing about the planning there. If you're going there this year, do come and say hello to us. We will be there next Tuesday morning, live from the National Plowing Championships. I love going to the National Plowing Championships. We've been going there pretty much every year. It's the crack, and we will be there. Also, by now, our old friend, Greg O'Shea, of winner of Love Island, is going to be at the National Dairy Council stand for their game show, Graw Island. Well done. It's kind of blind date, hosted by Marty Morrissey and Greg O'Shea. Anyone who is sound, single, and up for the crack can enter that, and participants will get free entry into the ploughing and the chance to meet the celebrities there, and a €100 voucher and a host of great prizes. So that's quite nice. If you want to take part in that bit of fun, get onto the NDC, National Dairy Council website, ploughing@ndc.ie, or give them a call. But we'll be there. And also, as I mentioned last week, just kind of confirmed that with our friends across the way, that all the outfits that I've worn at the beginning of the toy show since day one will be on display, which sounds bonkers, but it's true. And if you want to get a pictures with those, they're special to look at, and they're great fun. And I think you'll enjoy that, I hope. By the way, the movie, Chapter 2, it got trashed by the critics. Oh, here they come. We've got the two Taoiseach and the Prime Minister there. So let's go straight to
Cumber
Buildings.
Members of the press, ladies and gentlemen, Prime Minister. First of all, I really want to very sincerely welcome you to Ireland. And I look forward to our conversation this morning. I think we can both agree that we have much to discuss. First of all, allow me to say that we respect the democratic and sovereign decision of the British people to leave the European Union. We meet this morning at a point where it is the stated intention of the British government to leave the European Union on the 31st of October, with or without a deal. However, in my view, the story of Brexit won't end if the United Kingdom ends the European Union on the 31st of October, or even the 31st of January. There's no such thing as a clean break or just getting it done. Rather, we'll just move on to a new phase. If there is no deal, it'll cause severe disruption for British and Irish people alike, not so much on the continent. And whatever happens, we'll have to get back to the negotiating table quite quickly. And when we do, the first items on the agenda will be citizens' rights, the financial settlement, and the Irish border, all issues which we had resolved in the withdrawal agreement made with your predecessor, an agreement made in good faith by 28 governments. But if there is a deal, and I think it's possible, we'll enter talks on a future relationship agreement between the EU and the UK. It's going to be very tough. We'll have to deal with issues like tariffs, fishing rights, product standards, state aid, and it will then have to be ratified by 31 parliaments. Prime Minister, negotiating FTAs with the EU and the US and securing their ratification in less than 3 years, I think is going to be a Herculean task for you. But we do want to be your friend and your ally, your Athena, in doing so. And I think the manner in which you leave the European Union will determine whether that's possible. I am ready to listen to any constructive ways in which we can achieve our agreed goals and resolve the current impasse. But what we cannot do and will not do, and I know you understand this, is agree to the replacement of a legal guarantee with a promise. Our businesses need long-term certainty, and the people of this island, north and south, need to know that their livelihoods, their security, and their sense of identity will not be put at risk as a consequence of Brexit. So the stakes are high. Avoiding return to a hard border on this island and protecting our place in the single market are the Irish government's priorities in all circumstances. We must protect the peace and also the burgeoning all-island economy. And that's why for us the backstop continues to be a critical component of the withdrawal agreement, unless and until alternatives are found. But we are open to alternatives, but they must be realistic ones, legally binding and workable. And we haven't received such proposals to date. Prime Minister, I know we've spoken twice by phone already, and I know we've very, very much a shared desire to see the Northern Ireland institutions restored, and the Taoiseach and the Secretary of State are already working closely on that. And the Good Friday Agreement is the best example, if ever we needed it, to show that old foes can come together, to deal with the most intractable problems. And as co-guarantors of that agreement, I look forward to exploring with you how, working with the Northern Ireland parties, we can restore power sharing and devolution. I'm confident that we'll be able to find some common ground today, and in doing so, I'm determined to defend the peace, the all-Ireland economy, and all that we hold dear. Prime Minister, I know that you're an admirer of the great Winston Churchill, as indeed am I, and you've written elegantly about him in your career. In the middle of the Second World War, Winston Churchill and the Army Chief of Staff, Lord Allenbrooke, made a long and perilous journey across the Atlantic from Washington by plane. They reached the coast of Ireland shortly after 4 a.m. and Allenbrooke's description of their first sight of Ireland is unexpectedly poetic for a normally reserved military man. I'd like to finish by sharing that with you. Beautiful moon shining on a sea of clouds. Then out of the darkness, dark patches loomed up on the horizon, which turned out to be the north coast of Mayo. We soon struck the coast, only visible by moonlight. PM was thrilled as I was. I fear the vista when you flew in this morning into a very cloudy Dublin was not quite as spectacular or thrilling, but you come nonetheless at a crucial point in our history and the relationship between our two countries. We may sometimes differ, but we're bonded by our shared past and our shared kinship. And I think we've a shared dream too, one of peace, freedom, and prosperity. I look forward to our discussions today and I invite you to make your remarks.
Thank you very much, Taoiseach. Leo, it's wonderful to be here in Dublin, and I thank you very much for the very warm welcome you've given us in spite of the slightly chilly weather, which I congratulate the media on braving, as you all are this morning. Leo, you and I first met a few years ago when we jointly officiated at the St. Patrick's Day parade procession in Trafalgar Square in London. It was a pretty joyous occasion. And of course, we then celebrated the incalculable contribution of the Irish community to London. And there in the vast crowds was, of course, the living embodiment of one of the densest and most intricate and most vital relationships in the world between any two countries. And together, Leah, we both recognise that our peoples are the beneficiaries of the efforts of our predecessors, politicians and others, who put aside differences and who found compromises and who took our countries forwards together in circumstances that are far tougher than now. And the results for both the UK and Ireland are immense, not just a peaceful and open border, but an economic partnership by which we in the UK eat, I think, 50% of all the cheese and beef produced in Ireland, which is a lot, and the very captain of the World Cup winning English cricket team was born in this city. So I believe our job now is to take that relationship forward and to build on it. We've got a UK-Ireland summit in November. I look forward to that. And of course, in all the ways in which the UK and Ireland work together around the world with shared values and shared interests. But as you rightly say, Taoiseach, before November, there are two tasks, political tasks, that we simply have to do. And we must restore the government in Stormont, in Northern Ireland, and I promise to work with you on our shared objective there. And, of course, we must get Brexit done, because the UK must come out on October the 31st, by October the 31st, or else I fear that permanent damage will be done in the UK to trust in our democratic system. And I know that Brexit was not, to be perfectly frank, a problem, a conundrum that Ireland wished for. And I think there are certainly questions that we need to resolve. And there are three basic questions that we have to answer for the sake of our collective peace of mind. Can we ensure that we continue to have unchecked movement at the border of goods and people, and indeed cattle? And I think the answer is yes. And as someone who went to the border several times before the Good Friday Agreement and shuddered to see watchtowers on UK soil, I can say now, as I've said many times before, the UK will never, ever institute checks at the border. And I hope our friends in the EU would say the same. Can we uphold the Belfast Good Friday Agreement in all its particulars? And again, I say the answer is yes. And our commitment in the UK to the peace process is unshakable. Can we protect the economic unity of the island of Ireland and the gains that Ireland has won through its membership of the EU single market? And again, I think the answer is yes. And I think we can achieve these things while allowing the UK to withdraw whole and entire from the EU. And of course, I acknowledge the complexities involved and the symbolism and the sensitivities evoked by the very concept of a border. But strip away the politics, and at the core of each problem, you find practical issues that can be resolved with sufficient energy and a spirit of compromise. Indeed, the current treaty must logically envisage that the problems can be solved, or the present protocol would never have been called a backstop. So I have one message that I want to land with you today, Leo, and that is that I want to find a deal. I want to get a deal. Like you, I've looked carefully at no deal. I've assessed its consequences, both for our country and yours. And yes, of course, we could do it. The UK could certainly get through it. But be in no doubt, that outcome would be a failure of statecraft for which we would all be responsible. And so, for the sake of business, of farmers, and for millions of ordinary people who are now counting on us to use our imagination and creativity to get this done, I want you to know I would overwhelmingly prefer to find an agreement. Our governments have spent 3 years masticating this problem. And so I think it's time now to honour the achievements of our predecessors, who tackled far worse problems by cracking this one ourselves. I won't say we can do it all today, but I do believe that a deal can be done by October the 18th. So let's do it together. Thank you very much.
Prime Minister, now we have an opportunity for questions, starting with Tommy Gorman from RTE.
Prime Minister Taoiseach, if I could put my questions to you first, Prime Minister. You said that you travelled to the border before the Good Friday Agreement. Am I correct in suggesting that you have not been there since you were Foreign Secretary and in your role as Prime Minister? And when are we going to see the details of the compromise offer you are prepared to make in order to solve this problem between next door neighbours? Taoiseach, a question in relation to the future of Northern Ireland. It is said that direct rule may be imposed in Northern Ireland if there is no deal. What would be the stance of the Irish government in that situation, in keeping with its responsibilities under the Good Friday Agreement and the St Andrews Agreement? Thank you.
Well, thanks. Shall I go first to Tommy, who I used to work with many years ago in Brussels. Tommy, I remember the old border, and I've seen the new arrangements, and I know the contrast and how absolutely valuable and vital it is that we keep that open border. On the what we're bringing and the plan, well, I think it's fairly obvious what needs to be done. I think that the landing zone is clear to everybody. We need to find a way of ensuring that the UK is not kept locked in the backstop arrangement. So there is a way out for the UK, whilst giving Ireland the assurances that it needs. And I think there are two broad areas, Tommy, where progress can be made, and they are on the, everybody understand, the facilitations that people have been talking about for a long time now, whether it's trusted trader screens or electronic pre-clearance of goods. There's a lot that can be done there. I think there is another area too, which is the concept of the unity of the island of Ireland for sanitary and phytosanitary purposes, in other words, for agri-foods. Now, that gets you, if you can do both of those things, you get a long way through the problem. There are still issues to be resolved, but there are other ideas that we will be bringing forward to address the full range of complexity involved. I don't underestimate the difficulties that we face, and the technical problems and the political sensitivities. All I'm saying to you today is that I do think there is a way through that can satisfy the needs of Irish business and farmers and everybody in this country, but also ensure that the UK is able to respect the democratic wishes of the whole United Kingdom. I think there is a way of doing that. I accept fully, by the way, that the locus for the negotiation remains Brussels, and that's very, very important. And I think that the 27 will continue to want to have a shared position, and we absolutely respect that. But we will want to be discussing very sincerely now with our Irish friends how we can assist in that process, and how we can perhaps jointly make some progress together. Because as I've been travelling around the EU and talking to other EU members, there's no doubt the first thing they say to me is, well, you know, how are you getting on with your Irish friends? Have you made some progress there? So I think it is incumbent on us as the UK to talk first to Ireland.
So, Tommy, just to answer your question on direct rule, the Irish government will oppose the reintroduction of direct rule were that to happen. We'd consider it to be contrary to the agreement, and the St Andrews Agreement in particular. We recognise, however, that the UK is the sovereign government in Northern Ireland, so were it to happen, notwithstanding our opposition, we would want to see the institutions, the East-West institutions, in the Good Friday Agreement used to full effect, particularly the British-Irish Intergovernmental Conference, to give us an opportunity to have a consultative role when it comes to any of the big decisions that are made in Northern Ireland in that scenario, recognising that there are so many citizens of Ireland in Northern Ireland and the need to have a cross-community element to any decisions that are made.
Thank you, Taoiseach and Prime Minister. Next question is to Emma Vardy of the BBC.
Hi, question for Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Parliament has been blocking your bids to call a general election. It's been blocking the attempt to keep no deal on the table. How can you convince the Irish Prime Minister that you have the power to get anything through Parliament when the numbers are stacked against you there?
Well, I think that what everybody in the whole of the EU, including in Dublin, can see is that Brexit negotiations and discussions have been going on for far too long. They want an end to it, and they want it done, and that's certainly what I want done. And we will come out on October the 31st, and I'm sure that, as I say, parliamentarians will see the wisdom of doing that and respecting, honouring the referendum result, the democratic referendum result. And I'm absolutely undaunted by whatever may take place in Parliament, because I think what the British people want us to do is to deliver a deal and to get on and take us out on October the 31st. And that's why I'm so glad to be here in Dublin talking to the Taoiseach, and I look forward to some constructive conversations in the next few minutes. I want to stress, I want to manage down expectations here, Emma. I don't think we're going to have, I'm just looking at the future, I don't think we're necessarily going to have a complete breakthrough here this morning.
Not today, anyway.
Not today. But
might be a good start.
But we are going to work at this, and I think that is what the people of the UK would want us to do.
Next question is to Kevin Doyle from the Irish Independent.
Taoiseach, you've suggested that nothing of substance has been brought to the table in recent weeks. So is today the start of serious negotiations on alternatives to the backstop? And if there is an extension sought by the UK side, what would it take to convince EU member states that they could put this off till January or into the new year? And Prime Minister, when you talk about people being found dead in ditches, there's a sense in this country that you really don't understand what's at stake here. As Tommy asked, when is the last time you did actually go to the border? Have you crossed the open border like ministers from 12 EU countries have? Do you still think that it's like crossing from Camden to Islington? And given that you've lost your working majority now in the House of Parliament, will you be held ransom by the DUP in the same way that Theresa May was?
I think, Kevin, to answer your question, I'm very keen to have this matter resolved at the European Summit in the middle of October, allowing the UK to leave with the deal on October 31st. I think Brexit has dominated British politics and Irish politics for far too long now, and this meeting with the Prime Minister is an opportunity really for us to see where there might be common ground, see where there are still differences, and then see where we can work together with the European Union, of course, and the Commission on finding a solution. If it comes to a request for an extension, I think the vast majority of countries around the table would prefer that there not be an extension. We would like to see this dealt with. If the UK is leaving, it should leave on the 31st of October. But as the President of the Commission, incoming President of the Commission, Ursula von der Leyen, has said, if there is a good reason to have an extension, then we would consider it. But I think we would all prefer to have this resolved in October so that...